Lecture topic, do as before sleeping.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, wa kafa wa salatu wa salamu ala ibadihi alladhi nastafa. Amma ba'd. Most respected students of deen, mothers and sisters. We are repeatedly emphasized upon in the Quran Sharif, in the Hadith Sharif, to be in the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. And that the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala is the greatest aspect. وَلَا ذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ. Obviously, this remembrance is not just confined to verbal recitation of some adhkar and tasbihat. That is a very important aspect which must be in the part of a mu'min's life, must be in a mu'min's life, but this refers to is the total obedience of Allah Ta'ala. But the total obedience of Allah Ta'ala, in order to achieve that, this too is also part of it, that to inculcate this verbal remembrance as much as we can, so that this will take us towards the aspect of complete obedience to Allah Ta'ala. A part of this remembrance of Allah Ta'ala and inculcating this consciousness, one of the aspects that we find very much highlighted in the Hadith Sharif are the daily du'as of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The du'as at all the various occasions. So du'as from the time of waking up and throughout the day at all the different day-to-day aspects and right up to the point of going to bed at night, there are numerous du'as of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam which you will find filled in the books of Hadith Sharif. So now the question is that these du'as have been taught to us. So what is the need for such amount of emphasis? Allah alone knows His hikmat best, but it's very clear to a point we can understand that the whole idea is the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala, and nobody remembered Allah Ta'ala more than Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So part of this remembrance was these beautiful du'as, filled with so much of lesson in it, and such deep points in it, so much to make one reflect upon, to think about. So among the many, many du'as, are the du'as at the time of going to sleep. There are many recitations that have been established from the Hadith Sharif as well, great virtues for it. The recitation of the last ayat of Surah Baqarah, from Aman al-Rasul till the end, to recite this at night, then this becomes a means of protection from every shar, every evil. The recitation of Ayatul Kursi before going to bed. This, the person who recites Ayatul Kursi before going to bed, then Allah Ta'ala will appoint an angel to protect him and no shaitan will come close to him. Now these are very great rewards, very great benefits and bounties. So we cannot lose out on this. We cannot afford to deprive ourselves of such great bounties, such great benefits, the protection from Allah Ta'ala's side through the medium of an angel, the safety from the shayateen. Subhanallah, what tremendously great benefits these are. Then the many du'as, there's so many other recitations also, the recitation of the night surahs, tasbih-e Fatimi. This is to be held on with, onto very, very firmly. Tasbih-e Fatimi, which we are familiar with, the well-known Hadith Sharif, where Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after Sayyidah Fatima radiallahu ta'ala had once come to request some person to help a slave, But when she came, she found that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was busy with some men, and her haya, her modesty would not allow her to come in the midst of men and talk, though she had come just to merely present one excuse, one request. But the haya was such that she saw Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam busy with others, she went away. She didn't come and discuss anything while others would be present, men in the presence of men. So nevertheless, later on that evening, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to their home and to inquire that what was the need that she had come with. So Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anha then explained that Sayyidina Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, who is the queen of Jannat, but she undertakes all the chores on her own, and not the chores like nowadays. MashaAllah, nowadays too, there are a lot of things are done, but a good amount of those things are now at the press of a button. And in that time, all those chores as well had to be done manually, had to be done by hand. Like for example, the grinding of flour. First you had to grind the flour, then you will make the dough and then make the bread. So you start off right from scratch. So if it is wheat, those days they hardly had any wheat. It was barley generally, and barley is a bit coarse, it's a bit hard, and therefore that requires more effort to grind it. So on the grinding stone, first that barley would be ground as much as possible to extract the flour. And now that flour, then that will be baked. So all this had to be done, cooking on the open fire, going to fetch the water in a leather bag. All these things had to be done personally. And therefore, she gets very, very tired and taking up all this. So she needed some help. So she came to ask, she heard that some slaves had come into the possession of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So she came to ask. Now the Queen of Jannah came to ask from none other than her father, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the most compassionate and kind father that ever set foot on earth, and all the compassion and kindness of every father that of the Ummat cannot equate one fraction of the compassion and kindness of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But what did he tell her? Because he knew what was good for her, he said to them, to both Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anha and Sayyidah Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, hal adullukuma ala khairin, should I not tell you something better than what you have asked? So they said, please, do tell us what is that better. In other words, in place of a servant, as we will call it, in place of a helper, something even better. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught them Tasbih Fatimi, that when you come to sleep, then recite 33 times Subhanallah, 33 times Alhamdulillah, and 34 times Allahu Akbar. 33 times Subhanallah, 33 times Alhamdulillah, and 34 times Allahu Akbar. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said to them, this is better for you than a helper as well. So the commentators of hadith explain that if a person keeps up with this very diligently at night, recites this Tasbih Fatimi, inshallah, all the chores of the next day will get done comfortably. One will not get overwhelmed with it. All will get done with ease, inshallah. This will be the barakat of this recitation of Tasbih Fatimi, because Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gifted this to Sayyidah Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha on the request for a helper. So you know, this is the best helper. So it does not mean that it is not permissible to have some person to help, but we should not miss out on this and should not deprive ourselves of the bounty and the benefit of Tasbih Fatimi. So we should hold on to this very, very diligently. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala an was asked once, he said, I never missed it out any day. Ever since we heard it, so many years have passed, decades have passed, but I didn't miss it out once. It was now probably 50 years later that the student is asking. He said, we never missed it out once. So this was just something that came to mind, but a very great aspect nevertheless, and we should become very punctual on this. Inshallah, our muallimas will ask us for the next few days daily, so that we become conscious of it and do it, that who completed this? Who completed the recitation of this Tasbih Fatimi before sleeping? So in any case, what we planned to discuss today was some of the du'as. So one of the du'as that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would recite, when he came onto his bed, he would lie on his right side with his right palm under the right cheek. So this is the sunnah manner. If a person then after some time gets a little tired or whatever and needs to change posture, but you start off in this posture, on the right hand side and with the right hand under the right cheek. And then what is mentioned in the Hadith Sharif, after laying down in this manner, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam three times would recite this dua. Now subhanallah, he is the ma'soom Nabi of Allah Ta'ala, and he is begging Allah Ta'ala in this manner, رَبِّ قِنِي عَذَابَكَ يَوْمَ تَبْعَثُ عِبَادَكَ رَبِّ قِنِي عَذَابَكَ يَوْمَ تَبْعَثُ عِبَادَكَ. O my Rabb, save me from your azab, from your punishment. يَوْمَ تَبْعَثُ عِبَادَكَ, on the day that you will resurrect your servants, your slaves. Meaning Allah will bring back alive every person from their graves. Allah will raise every single person. Now on that day, the day of Qiyamah, is a very, very difficult day. Very, very severe day. The sun will be just above the heads of the people. And only those who have been blessed with the shade of the Arsh of Allah Ta'ala on that day, they'll be in ease and comfort. Otherwise, it's a very difficult time. So to ask Allah's protection from it. So now when a person is going to sleep, how often it happens that a person went to sleep, didn't wake up in dunya. They found him passed away now. This happened last week, somebody's relative, he went to sleep in the morning, when they went to wake him up, he was gone. So now the point is that we have no idea that when we are going to sleep, whether we are going to wake up from the sleep in dunya or not. So therefore we are being taught that before sleeping, remember Allah Ta'ala. Remember Allah Ta'ala and sleep with the dhikr of Allah Ta'ala. Because you may never wake up. This might be the last words that you recite, the last thoughts that you bring to mind, the thought of Allah Ta'ala, His forgiveness, turning to Him, begging His help in His remembrance. So this is one dua. Allahumma qini azabaka yawma tab'asu ibadak, three times. In fact, there are so many du'as mentioned in the Hadith Sharif. So many du'as. Person may say it will take very long to recite all these du'as. So if we can't recite everything, it doesn't mean we must recite nothing. And nevertheless, at least there should be some standard du'as that we read every day. But then we should have that zeal to taste from all the things. Like a person now is seated at a dastarkhan and seated to eat. Now somebody has given one dawat or there's some occasion and now there's about 10 different things. So a person cannot eat as he would want to from all 10. Some people try to do it when it comes to eating, but obviously that's not going to be suitable. After you eat from, even when there's so many different items, you eat from 2 or 3, just merely tasting sometimes, but you're already almost done now. So now the point is that a person will be able to eat a few morsels here, a few morsels there, but he still has that zeal to try and taste from everything. He wants to taste from this, taste from that, and he wants to just know how everything feels, what it tastes like. So just as the zeal is there to taste from all the different food items, we should have the zeal to taste from all the du'as. So today we will read these few du'as, 2-3 du'as, tomorrow the another 2-3, all the sleeping du'as, and the next day the other 2-3, then come back to the first 2 or 3. But every day we are reading something, and in this way we are connecting with Allah Ta'ala. So the zeal for eating is there, to taste all the different foods. If there's a variety of some baking, etc. So now sometimes it's all actually the same. Sometimes very similar. The color is different a little bit, the shape is different, maybe the decoration on it is different, but in essence it's all the same. But we want to taste this one also and taste that one also because it looks much different. But in essence it all comes more or less to the same thing often, in many cases. But we still want to taste it. But when it comes to all the du'as, we are happy to recite one du'a only and don't even try to learn the rest. Whereas Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited all these du'as. So we can't recite all, but we can recite some. We can recite some today, some other ones tomorrow, some other ones the next day. We should learn it. Keep the kitab at our bedside. And today read these two, tomorrow the other two. Some few standard ones read every day. But consciously. Consciously remembering Allah Ta'ala. So now among the du'as, one more du'a which is a very, very simple du'a, and generally it's taught to us when we are little children, so we should be all practicing on it inshallah. Allahumma bismika amutu wa ahya. This is the du'a at the time of going to bed. So inshallah everybody is reciting it. Allahumma bismika amutu wa ahya. Allah, with your remembrance, do I die and do I come back to life? Now what is this, I die? Sleep is like death. Mentioned in the Hadith Sharif also, sleep is the sister of death. So sleep is like death, that the dead person cannot see, cannot hear, cannot move. So the sleeping person has some similarities. That if somebody is there talking in a, maybe not completely whispering, but in a low tone, then the sleeping person can't hear him. He doesn't see who comes and goes. He doesn't know what's going on around him. So this is all the similarities with a dead person. So now we are being reminded of death. That when a person goes to sleep, he's like dead. And there's a chance that sometimes a person won't wake up in this dunya. So we are being taught the consciousness that look, death can come at any time. And therefore be ready for death. Now this is the point that we are being reminded so much about death, and especially at the time of going to sleep. The first dua we read, we learned just now, Allahumma qini azabaka yawma tab'athu ibadak. Already we are being taken to think about qiyamat, the hereafter. They don't think this world is the be-all and end-all. There's a hereafter coming. There's accountability. We have to answer for our deeds. Don't forget that. So we are being taught every night, remind yourself about this Qiyamah. And beg Allah's help and protection from the azab of Qiyamah. Then likewise in this dua, we are being reminded about death. Allahumma bismika amutu wa ahya. Now, apart from these two du'as, these are just two, there's so many more. In all these du'as, what was explained is that this is to sleep with the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. Now imagine that this is the last recitation of a person or the last actions of a person, because now you're going to finally fall asleep. When you fall asleep now, then you've gone into another world, so to say. So these will be the last words. Sometimes a person might speak or recite or whatever other action was done. And then there's a chance we might never wake up from it. So now how do we want to leave this dunya? We are all going to leave sooner or later. Somebody while we were awake, walking, and suddenly something happens, the person passes away. Somebody was sleeping, in their sleep they pass away. Somebody was awake but very ill, and then they slipped into another situation and passed away. Allah forbid, sometimes there's some accident, whatnot happens. Allah save us from all calamities and hardships. So the question nevertheless is that how do we want to pass away, because there is no escape from death. Everyone will taste death. We can never ever escape death. And this is not even required to emphasize, because nobody has any doubt in this. Every Muslim definitely believes in it. That's a reality in front of him. Anybody else also all believe in it. The worst atheist also all he too believes in it. Yes, then after death, what will happen? Now people got again different stories. But Allah Ta'ala has spelt it out for us. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has spelt it out for us. That's where our iman is. So now the issue again, that one is to fall asleep while reciting these du'as, remembering Allah Ta'ala. And if that is the last action of a person, that is the last deed that he had performed, those are the last recitations, Alhamdulillah, what a wonderful thing. That he went out of this dunya and met Allah Ta'ala, but in a condition that he had the last things were the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. So what a wonderful way to go. But then on the other hand, if a person is not conscious of these du'as, doesn't make the effort, but instead of the du'as, there are other things that are happening. One is other things which are futile, so that too is a loss, because the person went with something futile, that's a loss also. And worse than that, and very much worse is, person fell asleep with haram. Now there's some earphone in the ear, so it is now nobody else knows what's going on, but there's some music being heard. And now while that music was being heard, the person fell asleep. So that was the last action. And then from that sleep, the next life started. Never woke up from that sleep in dunya. So subhanAllah, what a disaster that the person left this dunya in the disobedience of Allah Ta'ala. Rather than the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala, the last action, listening to haram, the disobedience of Allah Ta'ala. Imagine somebody at that time, the last action, fell asleep while chatting some haram chat. In some haram chat, and fell asleep. That was the last action. Shaitan lulls us that we don't even think in this manner, and if some thought comes that what if this is my last? Well, that is an issue, that what if it's last, but it's not going to be your last anytime soon. You still got a lot of time. So when you got a lot of time, we'll make tawbah later. That's what Shaitan puts in the heart. You don't have to worry now. You can worry later. But do we have any guarantee of life? So there is no guarantee of life. We have to prepare for death. So now we don't want to leave this dunya in a condition that the last action was listening to some haram, was engaging in some haram chat. So this finger is now engaged in some sin, and now it's going to be in the court of Allah Ta'ala. And likewise, Allah forbid, person is watching some haram, and while watching that haram, sleep came away. What a terrible way to go. Imagine if death came in that condition. What a terrible way to go. Allah save us from all this. So this is the point, that we need to become conscious of Allah Ta'ala before sleeping, keep all other things far away. Meaning, obviously not anything that is used in a haram manner, even that which is used in a halal manner. The haram is haram, that's out. There's no question about it. But even what is used in a halal manner. Now what is used in a halal manner? So for example, somebody's phone, they don't ever use it for haram. They only use it for halal. Meaning, what is some necessary work, some call to make, receive, everything within the limit of Shariat. So that phone which is being used only in a halal way, even keep that a distance away. Person sometimes, they use the phone for the alarm, whatever, well and good, but out of hand's reach. So that the last bit of time before sleeping doesn't go in that. Otherwise that too, something futile will carry on. So that futility is also ghaflat. To do something futile is also ghaflat. And we want to meet Allah Ta'ala in a condition that we fell asleep with zikr, not ghaflat. We want to get to bed with zikr, with the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. Not to go to bed in a state of ghaflat. In a state of heedlessness. Total lack of any remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. So not even anything futile, la ya'ni and fuzul, But we want to be far away from anything to do with any sin. So therefore we keep the phone away too, that even this layani, even this futility, we don't end up spending time in that too. Then we keep ourselves busy in some recitation, etc., and we'll fall asleep. So our direction is to develop this remembrance of Allah Ta'ala, the consciousness of Allah Ta'ala. And one very big step in that, one very important step in that is these amal, the recitation of the du'as at the relevant occasions, and the tasbihat, the zikr, etc., and bringing our lives in accordance to this remembrance, bringing our lives on through the obedience of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, this is what's going to take us ahead. Otherwise, all these other things are all going to get left behind. When a person is gone to akhirat, this life of this dunya will just look like a dream. But if a person lived this what will look like a dream later, but he lived it in a good way, then this dream will become an even greater dream in the hereafter, in the sense that the reality of Jannat will open out, which he couldn't even dream about here, and there will be everlasting pleasure and happiness and bounties of Allah Ta'ala in Jannat. So in any case, when the person reaches Jannat, or even on the day of Qiyamah, this whole life will look like a dream to him. So supposing the person now, mashallah, got the certificate to Jannat, the passport to Jannat, and then the whole life of this dunya had to flash in front, and supposing this person was a person who really underwent a lot of challenges, lot of difficulties, lot of hardships, but now how will it appear there? It will appear like it was all just a dream. Sometimes a person in a dream now is seeing a nightmare. Now he's seeing a nightmare to him in the dream that is real. People sometimes wake up with a shock and they start doing some funny thing because they got so afraid of what they were dreaming about. But now if the person was undergoing this nightmare, he's seeing this nightmare and it's really becoming very, very difficult, and he's already shouting out in his sleep and he's sweating, and then his eyes opened out. Somebody made some sound or whatever, his eyes opened. Now when his eyes opened, he realized that I'm still safe here, I'm in my home, there's no problem, everything's fine. So how happy he gets, that elation, that hey, alhamdulillah, it wasn't anything to do with what I was dreaming about, that was just a dream. Everything is fine, I'm in afiyat, with sihat, with a good health, with everything is fine. He feels so much relieved and very happy. And imagine a person was in prison, a person gone to jail, and in the jail he's dreaming. What he's dreaming about? That he is flying high, he's become like the king, they appointed him on the throne, and he's got everything that he wants, and all the flashy cars, and the mansions, and whatever else. So he's busy dreaming, daydreaming or night dreaming, whatever, he's seeing all this kind of dream. And then as he saw a lot of this dream, suddenly something woke him up. When something woke him up, he realizes he's still there in the prison cell. His disappointment will just increase now, because he was gone into this imaginary world, and now when he opened his eyes, the reality came up, that you are still sitting in this prison cell. He feels even more hurt, even more disappointed, even more heartbroken. So likewise, when a person will reach the akhirat, if he was a good person in dunya, then all the difficulties and hardships and everything, it'll be like one dream that he saw. He won't even bother him now. It's all like one dream past. And I woke up out of that nightmare, alhamdulillah, there's ni'mat and bounties, forget about that. And a person who lived this life incorrectly, his real nightmare will only start from Qiyamah. Some of it in the Qabr as well. That will be a nightmare which he can't imagine. Allah save us from it. So, unless Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness comes, there's a very, very then difficult time. So, this is the point and the lesson. We need to turn to Allah Ta'ala, reflect upon our actions, beg Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness, remember Allah Ta'ala at all times, keep conscious of Allah Ta'ala, and especially at the time of going to bed, don't ever do this in a state of ghaflat. Don't ever go to bed in a state of ghaflat. Keep a tasbih in your hand, recite istighfar, durud sharif. It will fall out when you fall asleep, doesn't matter. But don't go to bed in a state of ghaflat. Recite the masnoon du'as, recite the recitations that have been taught to us in the hadith sharif. And think about the qabr, think about the day of qiyamah. Inshallah, in this way, we will have a better sleep as well. Many people are actually getting mentally sick because they're not having sufficient sleep. Why they're not having sufficient sleep? Half the night they're stuck on the phone. And then especially one is somebody is just reading something, some news item, whatever. That too is futile at the least. But then many a times people are watching things which are totally haram. And then half the night is going in that. That really messes the whole mind up. As a result, the person doesn't even get a restful sleep. Out of exhaustion, will fall asleep. But it's not even a real restful sleep. Because all the sleeping patterns and everything has been changed. And all that different moving screen all the time, that too impacts on the whole mind. And as a result, such people can't even focus then. Simple work, they can't focus. They can't focus on their studies properly. They can't focus if they're reading some Quran Sharif. They can't focus if they're reading some book. They can't focus in life. There's a repeated issue. The experience of so many parents already. Allah save us from all these things. So we need to go to bed in a state of zikr, in a state of the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala, and shun all these other things. If somebody gets upset with us, we make sure we don't displease Allah Ta'ala. How we deal with the matter? We don't displease Allah Ta'ala. So Allah Ta'ala give me the tawfiq, give all of us the tawfiq, that we keep ourselves forever in the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. And Allah Ta'ala save us and purify us from the ghaflat. Allah Ta'ala mikhir. Wa akhiru da'wana anilhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Allahumma laka alhamdu kulluhu wa laka ash-shukru kulluhu. Allahumma la nuhsi thana'an alayk. أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك جزى الله عنا نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين اللهم افتح لنا بالخير واختم لنا بالخير واجعل عواقب أمورنا بالخير بيدك الخير إنك على كل شيء قدير ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار ربنا وآتنا ما وعدتنا على رسلك ولا تخزنا يوم القيامة إنك لا تخلف الميعاد ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين والحمد لله.